Bible said in Galatians chapter number 6, "Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So have some mercy on people when they fall, because it might be you next. It might be you down the road that's really messed up, and you need some mercy, and you need somebody to love you and pray for you. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 20. Does anybody know what time it is?
Preaching time.
Yeah. Preaching time. That's right. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 20. I'm going to take my coat off. Amen. Amen. We're going to get serious about it. We're going to get serious. We're going to get down and dirty. Take your coat off. Amen. I might even take my top plumb off. I might get mad and preach in my t-shirt. I don't know. As long as I don't take my britches off, everything will be fine. Amen? Praise God. You know how you have them crazy dreams? You know, you ever had a real weird dream and you wake up and you're like, thank God, I'm glad that's a dream. I dreamed one time I was preaching in this big church up in North Carolina. We used to go to this church and it seats about 1,500 and they ran 1,000, 1,100 on a regular basis. And I dreamed I was up preaching up there one Sunday morning and I came to myself and I was in my boxer shorts. Now, brother, you talk about a man that's happy when he woke up. I was still in my boxers, but I was sure happy I wasn't up. I'm glad I was home, praise God. Amen. All right, 2 Samuel chapter number 20. I want to read a few verses of Scripture, an unusual story here. And that happened to a man in the 2 Samuel chapter number 20. I'm going to start reading about verse number 4. Then said the king to Amasa, "Assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present." So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now shall Sheba the son of Bichri do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us." And there went out after him Joab's men, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba the son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof, and as he went forth it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, "Art thou in health, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. I'm glad that's one custom we don't still have to do nowadays. I don't want to kiss none of you brethren. I don't want to kiss none of you sistren either. I want to kiss this sister right here, testified a while ago. I like her, but that's my wife, so that's accepted. But anyway, he reached out and took him by the beard to kiss him. Verse 10, but Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. You know what's getting ready to happen, don't you? So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib, and shed out his bowels to the ground, and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri, and one of Joab's men stood by him and said, "He that favoreth Job, and he that is for David, let him go after Joab." And Amasa wallowed in blood, in the midst of the highway. What a tragedy. What a way to die. Listen to this. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him. When he saw that everyone that came by him stood still, when he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. I'm not going to get into a lot of details about who did what, who all these people were, and what the battle was about. But I want to talk about that one little thing that happened there when Amasa was killed. Joab, if you'll study a little bit about Abishai and Joab, they ain't the kind of guys you'd want to mess with. I mean, the modern-day mafia wouldn't fool with these guys. These guys were bad news, brother. And when they killed a guy, they just killed him one time. Amen? And the Bible said there that he killed Amasa, and they came back by there, and there he laid wallowing in his blood in the middle of the road. And all the people stopped that was in that war, and they stopped, and they just stood there and was just staring at this man laying there and all that blood. You notice that scripture there said his bowels gushed out. I believe what that meant is guts and his entrails just spilled out in the road, is maybe his intestines and all that. You say, preacher, that's gross. Maybe it is gross, but it's true. And the Bible said there that that he was laying there wallowing in his blood right in the middle of the road, died. What a way to go. And those people were standing there. I picture it. That they were just in awe and they're in shock. And there there's look at this great man of war. And they were standing there just staring at him in shock, wallowing in that blood, and they wasn't going anymore, wasn't doing anything. And Joab came by, or this man came by, and the Bible said he picked him up, drug him out of the road to a field, and covered him up, and the people went on. That's what I want to preach about for a few minutes this morning, is just drag it out of the road. Amen. Just drag it out of the road. I got to thinking, I preached last week on Wednesday night, and what I did was I took my introduction and turned it into a sermon. I mentioned these points the other night, but that's what I want to preach on this morning. There's things in our lives that if we just get it out of the road and move on, we can get somewhere. There's some of us, brother and sister, will never amount to nothing for God because there's a great big obstacle in our way that we've lived with, and sometimes we've even cherished it, and it's become a part of who we are. And the only thing we need to do is just drag it out of the road, brother. Amen. Them people, brother, they couldn't get nowhere because there's a dead guy laying in the road in front of them. And I want to say people's got something like that in their life. You got a big old dead man in the road in front of you, spiritually speaking. And some of you young people, don't let it get that way early on in life. Don't let these things hinder you from doing something for God. I want to jump right into my message this morning and say, number one, we have a past that haunts us. Did you know there's some people, Brother Sam, that can't do nothing for God because that past is laying right in the middle of their road and they can't get nowhere. Preacher, if you only knew what I did. I've had people say that so many times. But brother, listen. And there ain't nothing you can do about your past. There ain't nothing I can do about my past. I'm ashamed of what I used to do and who I used to run with and the things I've done and the places I've been. Oh, brother, I've told some of y'all this before. I was preaching in North Carolina a few years ago, and I went to my mom and daddy's grave, and me and Debbie went to her parents' grave. We was riding down the road after visiting the cemetery one day. I drove by an old package store, and I told my wife, I said, oh, I couldn't tell you how much money I spent in that place. Oh, but thank God I don't go there no more. I'm glad I don't even stop for gas there anymore. Oh, brother, I want to tell you, it's like that old song said, thanks to Calvary, we don't live this way anymore. I want to tell you something this morning, brother. You're looking at a man who used to be a drunk and a dope head and a fornicator and a thief and everything, a whole bunch of other stuff. But I'll tell you one night when I got saved, I grabbed a hold of it and drug it out of the road. I ain't going to let that stuff keep me from preaching and shouting and singing and winning souls and doing something for God. I ain't gonna stand there and look at my past and watch it wallow in the road. Thank God. I'm gonna get on with it, brother. Let's get on with it. Just drag it out of the road. There's a past that'll haunt you if you let it. The Bible said, forgetting those things which are behind, Paul said, and look forward. Brother, you got to forget it, brother. Drag it out of the road. Isaiah 43:45 said, he blotteth out all our transgressions. All my pot smoking and beer drinking and women chasing its gold. Thank God it ain't covered by the blood. It's washed away. Thank God it's gone, brother. It don't exist anymore. Even in the mind of a sovereign, holy and righteous God, if I let that thing lay in the middle of the road, God will look down at me and say, what in the world are you waiting for, son? I said, what about all that stuff I used to do? He'd say, what stuff? What stuff? What stuff? What sin are you talking about? Hey, man, just get on with it, brother. Just drag it out of the road and go on and do something for God. In the past, you look back in the past, there's bleeding and there's bruises. And there's a brutality. And all this, and there's hard stuff. Even in this room of people here this morning, I'm sure there's some wicked stuff in our past. Some of these kids got saved when they were little, thank God. Hallelujah, I'm glad. But I'm sure there's some of you here today, I bet you could get up and put my past to shame and talk about some of the things you've done, but you don't have to. Just grab it and drag it out of the road, brother. I mean, put it under the blood. I mean, put it under that fountain. Oh, there's a fountain flowing. Thank God from the Calvary, cross of Calvary, and Jesus shed his blood. Oh, brother, I'll tell you, if you'll just drag it and get it out of your way, God don't want you to waste your time standing around looking at it. There's forgiveness. Hey, could I ask you something this morning? Are you worried about a divorce in your past? Just grab it and drag it out the road. I don't care, and he don't either. Amen, brother. Hey, could I tell you something else? You know, we preach against abortion all the time, and every preacher I know preaches against it, and any preacher's worth shooting is, will preach against it. Hey, but I want to throw this in there. If there's somebody listening this morning or by way of radio, if you've been through an abortion and you went to the altar and asked God to forgive you, just drag it out of the road, brother, forget about it. Hey, I ain't gonna hold it against you. Brother, I want to tell you something. There's some of us have done more in our heart than you have done physically. Drag it out the road's all you can do. There's a past that haunts us. Maybe you've been in jail. Maybe you're a jailbird. Maybe you've been in prison. Maybe you've been had assault charges. Maybe you're a convicted felon. Maybe you've beat your wife. Maybe you went bankrupt. Maybe you've had some repossession. Maybe you've had a foreclosure. Whatever it is, who cares, brother? I could care less. I want to tell you, brother, I'm telling you, according to this book, them people couldn't go nowhere because that man's laying in that pile of blood. But somebody had the wherewithal and the guts and the foresight to grab him and drag him out the road and say, march on, people, march on, go, keep going, don't stop, drag it out of the road this morning. Amen. Paul was hounded by being a bounty hunter. Abraham could have been hounded about being a bit dishonest about his wife. Jacob maybe could have been hounded about deceiving his daddy. David might have been hounded about Bathsheba. But I want to tell you what that book said right there about forgiveness. Here's the way it works. If you do me wrong and we say we're sorry, we forgive each other, I might remember it. But according to that Bible, brother, we serve a God that has the ability and the power, I mean, to put that thing behind you and put it behind him. He don't remember it anymore. There ain't no use you living with it because he don't. And there ain't none of the rest of us got a right to point our finger. We're just as low down as the rest of you. And so, brother, just drag it. Take that past that's haunting you and drag it out of the road and haul off and do something for God. Amen. Number two, there's problems that hinder us. Sometimes there's things, a past that haunts us, but then sometimes there's problems that hinder us. And it's laying there in the road in front of us and we get started for God. What I've seen down through the years, some people will get saved and get excited and they take off for the Lord. And the devil throws a stumbling block. Something happens. Problems rise up. And then they get stopped. And then I know a man right now went through a divorce a few years ago. Him and his wife, his whole family busted up. But anyway, long and short of it is, it's all scrambled eggs now. You can't unscramble it. And he's making an effort. And he's trying to get back to church. And he feels ashamed. And he feels beat down. The devil's just got... I mean, it's like the devil's got him in a vice, Brother Jeff, and twisting the screws to him. He wants to go to church so bad he can't stand it. He misses it. He's hungry for it. I mean, brother, he's restless and he ain't getting food for his soul. He wants to go back to church, but that past is after him. And then he's got problems, brother, that he's living with. But I want to tell you, brother, if you want to learn how to live any kind of victory in Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to learn to grab that junk and drag it out of the road and just keep on going and don't worry about what everybody's got to think about. I'll tell you what, the older I get, the more I realize. There was an old preacher told me one time, he said, preacher, you'll make a great pastor someday if you get to where you just don't care. And I didn't know what he meant, really. I thought he meant just be a, you know, just be mean and hateful. Not that I am mean and hateful, but I mean, but he didn't mean don't care about lost souls or sinners dying and going to hell. He meant if you'll get to the point where you ain't worried about if so-and-so don't come to church or if so-and-so don't pay their tithe or if sister waggle jaw wags that tongue and gossip a little bit, don't lose your joy. Don't lose your zeal. Don't lose your enthusiasm. Don't lose your drive. Don't quit planning. Don't quit preaching. Don't quit praying. Don't quit praising. Just don't care. You got to drag it out of the road. All those problems that's facing you, drag it out of the road. Preacher, my problem is my family. You can drag it out of the road. Get them in an old-fashioned altar. A man and his wife that'll pray together and read their... You know that old saying, families that pray together stay together? That's true. That's true. But most people don't pray till they get in trouble. That's a problem that faces or that hinders us. Family. Maybe it's the flesh. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's foes. Maybe it's people hate you. Maybe it's people that don't like you and like what you stand for. Maybe you got enemies. If you're a Christian, if you believe the King James Bible, I promise you, you're going to have enemies. Hey, if you're a preacher, I guarantee you, you're going to have enemies. I mean, that's just a given. You're going to, because the Bible told us up front that's going to happen. There's problems that hinder us. And if we let them, those problems will lay there in front of us as we travel this Christian life, as we walk this road for the Lord. We'll let them problems lay there. And we'll say, I can't get around it. I can't get over it. I just don't know what to do. And I can't get under it. It's so big. You say, preacher, you don't understand. You don't know how big it is. Brother, there ain't nothing. I want you to hear me well this morning. There ain't nothing too big for my God. There's nothing too big. There's no problem that He cannot solve. There's no situation that He cannot handle. There's nothing that surprises Him. Listen, God's not in heaven walking back and forth taking nerve pills and wondering what He's going to do. Thank God He's got it under control. He knows where you are, and He knows your problem. And the Bible said He'll hear and answer a prayer, but you got to drag it out of the room. Amen. Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. You can stand there and look at it. Them people probably would have stood there all day looking at a dead man. By the way, did you notice the Bible said he was dead? That problem's already dead. They couldn't do nothing about it. What are they going to do for a dead man? Nothing. Hey, that problem that you're letting hinder you, it's dead anyway. There ain't nothing you can do about it. I mean, there ain't nothing you can do to change it. I mean, most problems, they say 90% of what people worry about is stuff that don't never even happen. I mean, you're worried about something that ain't never going to transpire. So just drag it out of the road and go on for God. I mean, brother, make up your mind. If I die in the field or I die in the fight, I'm going to go down on the battlefield doing something for God, and at least it'll mean something in my life will count for something. Drag it out of the road. Preacher, we got problems. Well, I ain't never seen anybody that didn't have problems. If we had more money, we wouldn't. You know what? If you was rich, you'd have more problems. Because you'd be like a spoiled kid. And you want everything in the world, and it wouldn't make you happy. There's a past that haunts us. There's problems that hinder us. Thirdly, there's people that hurt us. You going to let that lay there in the road in front of you? What are you going to do? You just going to let it lay there and just stare at it your whole life? You're just going to spend the rest of your Christian life standing there looking at that person that hurt you and let them hinder you from getting on down the road? That's what they're doing. That's exactly what it's doing. Brother, I want to tell you, listen, have you had your best friends turn you into authorities and had you arrested for a crime you didn't commit? That's exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, brother, He was the only man that was ever lived that was perfect and sinless and did no wrong. And He had everything done to Him falsely. There's people that hurt us. You know what I don't understand? I know people have baggage and people are hurt. I've been hurt, you've been hurt. But it bothers me, these people that just never get over it. Well, preach, you don't understand. I've been hurt. This happened to me when I was a kid. So that happened to you when you was 10 and you're 40 now. Why are you still snotting and crying over it? When are you going to get over it? When are you going to grab it and drag it out of the road? How long are you going to live in misery? How long are you going to stand there and look at a corpse laying in a puddle of blood? Brother, you got to at some point say, hey, I ain't going to let this control me no more. Amen. I know a man right now. I know a gentleman right now. He's not saved, not in church, raised in a preacher's home. And he got mad at his daddy about something. His daddy's been dead several years and he's still mad at him. Mad at his daddy, and his daddy ain't even alive. You know what he's doing? Still laying there in the road in front of him. He ain't going to get nowhere. He'll live the rest of his life and die with that people that hurt us laying in the middle of the road, and all he has to do is just drag it out. Hey, brother, God will do things for you, but God wants you to do some things for yourself, and when you do, God will bless people that try to help themselves. Amen. You've been molested? Drag it out of the road. That's a bad one. I know it is. It ain't nothing you can't overcome. Used to be a lady up there where Debbie used to teach school, and she had been raped when she was little and been molested. She'd talk about it openly. She said, this is how I got the victory over it, telling people and helping other people, helping other women, helping other kids. You know what she decided to do? She grabbed that sucker and drug it out of the road. I'm going on down the line, and I'll tell people about that, help other people, so they can drag it out of the road. You know what I'm saying? Have you been molested? Have you had somebody cheat you on a business deal? You've been cheated out of money? You've been betrayed? You've been fired? You missed a promotion? Had a child go the opposite way, the way you raise them? Hey, brother, it happens. The Bible said, man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's going to happen. You're going to have trouble. If you haven't had trouble yet, you ain't here. You ain't here. If you have not had trouble, you was hatched out of an egg somewhere. If you come out of a woman's womb, you're going to have trouble sooner or later, and it's going to go throughout your whole life. But brother, listen, the problems of life and those people that hurt us and those problems that hinder us, we have to decide, am I going to let it make me bitter or am I going to let it make me better? You know what's helped me and Debbie down through the years and made us closer and love each other more than ever? You know what it is? No. Well, that's, yeah. Thanks for helping me. I stumped there for a minute. It's the hard times. It's the hard times. You know what you learn when you're on the mountaintop? You don't learn anything. You learn everything. You learn every valuable lesson you'll ever learn. You learn when you're in a valley, when it's dark and it's lonely and it's cold and you don't know what to do and you're struggling and you're squirming and everything's closed in. That's when you learn the greatest, most valuable lessons of life. Everybody's been hurt. I was thinking about Apostle Paul. Before he left, he said, Demas hath forsaken me. And he went on down a few more verses, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. And he started talking about those people. And then he went on down to say, verse 16, he said, at my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. But here's the next thing he said. I pray that God, that it may not be laid to their charge. Verse 17, he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthen me. Here's what Paul was saying. I've been done dirty from the day I started preaching until right now I'm sitting in jail and some of my helpers has fled and went back to the world. I've been treated like a dog. But he said, I'm going to drag it out of the road. Lord's help me. Paul, what about Demas? He left you. What about Alexander? What about all those people, all those friends? How about the fact that you're in jail? I just drug it out of the road. I ain't living in that. That's what Paul said. He said, the Lord stood with me. Hey, he said, even when they left me, He stood by my side. He said, when they betrayed me, God was faithful. He said, when they all run away and left me to my own self to face the charges, Jesus Christ, my Savior, stood with me through the whole thing. Amen. There's a past that haunts us and problems that hinder us. There's people that hurt us. The last thing I want to say is there's pressure. There's pressures that harden us. But you know what you got to do? Pressure, man. Pressure. There's pressure in this life, ain't it? I mean, if you're married and got a job and got kids and everything, there's pressure just right there. If you're married, there's pressure. Amen. And there's problems. And the pressures will harden you. And I heard this illustration one time. This guy said, "That ain't you been mad at that guy all year?" And he said, "Yeah, I have. He did me dirty." He said, "Well, this is a New Year's Eve celebration." He said, "You ought to say Happy New Year to him. Start the year off right." He said, "I don't want to." He said, "Well, go ahead. It'll help you." And he said, "I wish you a Happy New Year." And that guy said, "Thank you." And he said, "But only one. Only one year." Just bitterness. They say doctors have found that people who are bitter have a lot of hatred in their hearts, have much more arthritis than those people that are at peace. Isn't that amazing? Similarly, they say that people that have stress and that have bitterness, you know, tension and worry and phobias and all that, they have a lot more mental problems, heart problems, hypertension, high blood pressure. I mean, physically it takes a toll. Bitterness ain't no count, people. You know what you got to do with it, don't you? Pressure that hardens you. Drag it out of the road and just go on. Preacher, what about, you ever notice these people that go overseas and fight for our freedom and come back, their legs blowed off, and then you see them running in a marathon? You know what them people did? They just drug it out of the road. But you know, I know Christian people that won't do a thing for God, won't even go to church because something happened one day, and they're harboring that, and it's laying right in the middle of the road, and they ain't going to get nowhere. Bitterness, burdens. There's a lot of burdens you're going to have to carry. There's a lot of things you're going to have to live with. There's some things that don't seem fair. Sometimes it don't even make sense. Sometimes it's like, Lord, I don't even know what you're doing. I don't even know what you're trying to show me. But listen, there is pressure in this Christian life. Don't think for one minute just because I'm going to church and serving God, everything's going to be perfect. I ain't never going to have any more trouble. No, it's not like that. Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. As though some strange thing happened to you. It's going to happen. But you got to decide this morning. Come on, get a song. You got to decide if all this stuff's going to lay there. Are you going to do like them people in the Bible and just stand there and look at it? Just stand there and look at it? Stand there and look at it, talk about it? Or are you going to drag it out of the road and go on down the line? You come up on something in the road, you're driving down the road, Brother William here works for the railroad. If he's going down the railroad tracking one of them trucks, and there's a tree across the road, he can stop and get out and stand there and look at it a while. Or he can call somebody, come bring a chainsaw and cut it up and move it. Yesterday we went with Brother Jeff down to the river, do a little quick one-hour job. But when we was coming down that road, and this came to my mind because I knew what I was going to preach this morning, and this fit right in a good illustration. Was coming down the road, and there me and Jeff, Brother Jeff and Travis was cramped up in that truck. It's not made to haul people. It's made to haul cars. It ain't made to haul people. We was having a good time, though, good fellowship, telling stories, you know, telling lies back and forth. You know, a bunch of men are swapping lies and all that. We was coming down the road, and Brother Jeff had to stop. Travis got out and opened the gate, and we went a little further, and there's a big old tree limb laid across the road, as far as we could go. We needed to get past it, get down there to where the river's at, where we're going to do what we're going to do. That hit me, Brother Jeff. We was in that rollback, and that just hit me. I was thinking about this message. We either going to get out and move that part of that tree, or sit and look at it, or turn around and go back and not get nothing done. Amen. What's Christian people doing? Nothing. They're getting out of the truck and looking at that limb. Man, that's a big old limb, ain't it? Darn straight it is. Biggest limb I ever seen. What would Jesus do? I'll tell you what he'd do. He'd drag it out of the road and go on. I mean, you know, it seems like people, Christian people, would have a little bit of common sense. I'll tell you something this morning. I won't say a whole lot about it, but hearing this tragedy we heard this weekend about these churches and these preachers, it breaks my heart. You can ask my wife, I didn't sleep much last night. My heart's heavy. And this ain't the first time that's happened. I'm talking about people, it's my friends. Best friends stayed in their homes, preach revivals, and live at their house while I'm preaching. Eat meals with them. They've been to my house bukus of times, just like this, and walk away from the ministry, walk away from their wife, walk away from a successful church. Church is growing and booming, people being saved left and right. It kills me. It hurts me. Told my kids yesterday, and they were hurt. Had to tell them. Told my wife. Me and Brother Jess walked across the road, and I called her over there under the shade tree and talked to her a minute. Big old tears started running down her face. She said, please tell me you're joking. I said, preacher, here's what I'm saying. You can either stop and get bitter, and you can lose your joy and be miserable the rest of your life, or you can just reach down and get that big old burden and just drag it over here out of the road. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But I had to get up and come preach this morning. I couldn't make y'all suffer because of what happened up there. I can't make my family suffer because somebody else did something crazy. Y'all understand what I'm getting at this morning? Let's don't let something get in the middle of the road to stop us. If it does, if something does cave in, and something does fall in front of us, and something bad does happen, let's have the guts that one man did just reach down and grab his bloody corpse and drag him out of the road and say, all right, people, come on through. Don't let these burdens and this bitterness and these battles keep you down. Bring it to the cross. Let's all stand this morning.